This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
India's budget priorities include a visit to Mars.
Make it a working lunch. Listen to the Marketplace Midday Update podcast for the day's top business headlines. Subscribe on iTunes or at marketplace.org/podcasts.
From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the global perspective on business and economics. India tomorrow will spend what by American standards is a relatively cheap $72 million to try its hand at interplanetary exploration. The BBC's Rahul Tandon is in Calcutta and has been following this morning. Rahul?
Good morning, David.
So start with helping me with the word, what is it, Mangalyaan or something?
Very good, very good. It basically means Mars spacecraft, and it's there for scientific purposes, but I think it's also there for morale and for the Indians to say to China, hey, we can do it. Doesn't look like you can.
It's not just keeping up with the Chinese, but perhaps what the British would call gazumping, going around past them.
We talk a lot about the next century being the one for the Chinese and the Indians, and the space race, I think, is an important part of that. But there are many people here in India who say, in a country with such high levels of malnutrition, with such poor levels of infrastructure, half the population not having access to toilets, should India really be involved in such a race at all?
But the Indian government is going to try to do this at a bargain price.
It's not as expensive, I think, as some other space missions that we see taking place across the world, but it's still going to cost around $70 million. And I think the key for the Indians when it begins tomorrow is to make sure that it actually works. It's great to be involved in the space race when you get it right. If it goes wrong, and there's a very small window of opportunity where the craft has to take off, otherwise it could be a 1 or 2 month delay with the world's eyes watching upon you. So some fingers being crossed that it does go right.
The BBC's Rahul Tandon in Calcutta. Thank you.
Thank you, David.
The World Retail Congress Africa started today in Johannesburg, South Africa. Some of the world's most famous companies are there trying to figure out how to sell to the continent, a fast-growing but often tough market. Marketplace's Mark Garrison reports.
All the calculations that go into where American companies expand boil down to one thing, risk versus reward. NYU economist Yao Niarko is from Ghana.
The returns in Africa are potentially huge, but it's also risky. That's why they call it an emerging market, right? It's a frontier market.
Some frontiersmen get rich. Others get eaten by the local wildlife. Investing in Africa means hacking through legal and bureaucratic tangles.
It's not as straightforward as the United States. You'd have to go through governments. The regulatory framework is important. Those are some of the challenges there.
Others include poor infrastructure, but African countries have made big strides recently, all while conflicts ended and population boomed. Mauro Guillen is an international business professor at the Wharton School. He marvels at how many potential customers will be in Africa by mid-century.
It is likely to have 25% of the world's population. By the end of the century, it's likely to have 35% of the world's population.
And that's why global brands want to gain a foothold now. I'm Mark Garrison for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are all up at the moment after the Dow on Friday rose 69 points, 0.5% to 15,615. The FT100 in London is up 0.5%. The Hang Seng in Hong Kong rose 0.25%. The once high-flying hedge fund SAC Capital Advisors could crash land in Manhattan today. The biggest ever insider trading settlement with federal prosecutors is expected, $1.2 billion, according to Reuters. The allegations are of a wild culture of passing advance information around. The firm could also be prohibited from managing money in the future.
Get Marketplace's top headlines, podcasts, and special features delivered right to your inbox each day. Subscribe to the Midday Update newsletter at marketplace.org.
Now, I've been wrestling with whether to categorize our next interview as business of sports. What is professional wrestling anyway? Sport, theater, farce? David Shoemaker is a journalist and author of the new book, The Squared Circle, Life, Death, and Professional Wrestling. Morning, Mr. Shoemaker.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
So I have to ask this question right off the top. How did wrestling go from an actual competitive sport to, I don't know what you call it now. I mean, it's fake.
Yeah, it's fake. In reality, it was never totally on the level. Its origin was back in the carnival days where sideshows would come to town and there would be wrestling exhibitions. But there was a period where wrestling as a national sport was legitimate. It was just really boring. And so the promoters made the really smart decision to liven things up by faking it.
What do you think it is about, for instance, cable networks and now streaming companies like Netflix and Hulu? What makes wrestling work in those media?
Well, it's cheap and easy to produce. It was sort of the reality television in that way. When national television first took off in the 50s, wrestling was the first sport. It was so much easier to film and to televise than baseball, say. The same thing happened when national cable companies like USA and TBS started up. They needed content. Wrestling was there to give them the content. And now we see the same thing happening, like you mentioned, with Netflix and Hulu. It's wonderful content for them to have on the air and to kind of get a little niche market in there.
How is business today? Strong?
It's strong. I mean, everybody harkens back to the period in the early 2000s where it was at its peak. I don't think it's realistic that it'll ever get back there just because there's just so many more options on television and on the internet. But business is going well. The stock price is inching upward. I talked to a stock researcher, and he pointed out, you know, that they're going to renegotiate their television contract, and it might be two times, three times, four times the size it is now, which would make an incredible difference to their bottom line.
So, I mean, it's going to be hard to pick, like picking children. But did you end up with a character that you feel the most close to as an author?
In a lot of ways, the Macho Man Randy Savage. He was my favorite growing up. He was electric. He was conspiratorial. He was borderline insane. But it was just a brilliant show when he was on the screen.
David Shoemaker is author of The Squared Circle, Life, Death, and Professional Wrestling. Mr. Shoemaker, thank you.
Thank you.
And if you have no pension plan at work, this piece of news may not go down well, even if you adore dogs. The cops in Nottinghamshire, England, will give pensions to retired police dogs. Not a big pension, the equivalent of $2,400 to help cover medical bills. Britain's single-payer health system does not apply to canines. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. On APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.